All right, you can go to James 1. I'm going to teach on be doers of the word, not hearers only. We've been spending all weekend hearing the word, but you're also supposed to be doing the word that you hear. The aim of education is what? Action. Or to get a degree. I don't know. But in James 1, 21, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, which is a lot of naughtiness, and receive with what? Meekness, the engrafted word. And meekness means you're coachable. You will, you will let the word tell you about your life. You will listen to the word and apply it to your life. You're meek. You're not haughty. You're not self-sufficient, like Lisi taught. She taught the opposite. And with meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. It's God's word that enables you to be whole in your life, like in your marriage, you know. In your life, in your practical life, God's word is what makes you whole, like Bob said, in every aspect of your life. It's your application of the word that makes you whole. But then verse 22 says, but, and that's a big but. And it is, but is moreover, or and, be ye what? Doers of the word. Don't just listen to it, and don't just agree with it. That's not enough. You have to be a doer of the word. And a doer is someone who actually carries it out. Someone who performs what the word says. Someone who makes the word a reality by acting on the word. And then the scariest part of this verse is the last part, and it says, be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word, not what? So don't just listen to the word, you should what? And here's the scary part, deceiving who? And do you realize that you have the ability to deceive yourself? You could be fooling yourself. And to deceive means to reckon wrong, to figure things wrong, or to cheat yourself. You're cheating yourself if you don't apply the word, or to delude yourself, to be deluded. And so if you're not applying the word, you're fooling yourself. And what happens is you go to fellowship, you pray at the right time, you do all the stuff a believer is supposed to do, but you're not living an abundant life in every category of your life. You're not getting the blessings from God. And it's because you think you're doing the word, but you're just listening to it and not what? Applying it, doing what it says. For example, like, can you think of one thing that Bob said you could do? Speak in tongues. Do you agree? Well, that's enough, isn't it? No. How about when you get up in the morning, what's something you could do that you've learned this weekend? Talk to God. Do you agree? Then you got it. No. When will that be effective and really bless you in your life? When you do it. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. You go, that part on that weekend about just getting up and talking with God, I love that part. Then every morning you get up and go, what do I have to do today? What's it say in the newspaper? But I loved that part of Bob's teaching. Well, you're fooling yourself. You're not going to get the blessings of what the word promises. And so you have to do what it says, not just agree with it, not just hear it. Look at Matthew 13. I like this record. It's about a rascal who was really a good guy. Matthew 13. Oh, no, not Matthew 13. 21. Sorry, Matthew 21. So you understand what I'm trying to teach? Okay, Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 28 says, but what think ye? That's a good retemery, right? And this is something you could do at work, too, that I'm going to suggest. This is what you say to the employees at your job. What think ye? But it says, but what think thee? Ye, a certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, what? I will not. So the father asked the son to go work in the vineyard, and the son goes, I'm not going to do it. But afterward, he repented and what? So he said, I'm not going to do it, but he really did do what his father wanted him to do. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. But what did he do? He didn't go. And then Jesus Christ asked the question, whether of them twain did the will of his father? Which one did God the Father's will? The one who, not the one who just said, okay, I'm going to do all that. The one who did the Father's will was the one that actually did what the Father wanted him to do. It wasn't the son who said, I agree with all this stuff. I'm going to do everything you say, and then just didn't. It was the one who was kind of a jerk about it, but he actually did what? He actually carried it out. And that's what we want. We want to literally act on the word of God. And you've heard tonight, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's true. Another way to build up your believing is to act on the word of God. Literally act on God's word. Walk on God's word. And when you do, you see it work. And it becomes, and you just start to get more and more and more confidence in that God's word does work. That God does meet your needs every time. You get more and more confident, and it helps you to believe. But we want to do what God says to do. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 18. It's the parable of the sower. And it says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, you know, when people hear the word and understandeth it not. Now, this word understandeth means to set or join together in the mind. It means to be earnestly occupied with the object. It means to reflect morally. It means to ponder, to lay to heart. And it's like when you hear the word, if you don't think about it and think about how you can apply it in your life, if you don't reflect on it, look what happens. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh who? And he steals it away. And he steals it away. And you've heard the word this weekend, and you get an idea of what a believer is like and what a believer can do and what your life can be like. But if you don't think about it and think about how to apply it, it'll be gone by Wednesday. You'll go to work, and you'll just feel like everybody else sitting there in the office. You'll forget who you are, and you'll forget what God will do for you. You have to be earnestly occupied with it. You have to think about how to apply it. When anyone, verse 19, heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and what? That's a big function of how this world works, is to steal the word away from you. And he steals it away if you don't think about how to apply it, if you don't think about what it means to your life. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So tonight I'm going to go over three things, but not promises. These are going to be three things that God says to do. God's word says to do. And they are in Philippians. No, not in Philippians. They're somewhere. First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 5. By the way, in the parable of the sower, it says at the end of that parable that the person who does is earnestly occupied with the word and thinks about how to apply it in their life, they get fruit. It brings forth fruit in their lives. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, there's three things God's word says for you to do. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, what? Give thanks. Those are the three things I want to go over tonight. And those are things that God says that you should do. Now, wouldn't it be cool to rejoice evermore? Do you agree with that? So you, teaching's over. But these are actually things that God says that you should do. Rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, what? Give thanks. For In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's these things are God's will for you. These things are God's will for your walk. And these are things that you decide to do. The first one is rejoice. Rejoice is joy or gladness or to be merry, to be delighted. And it's a decision that you make. It's not based on things that happen, you know, on your birthday or good things that happen on the outside. It's from your inside. It's from your heart. It's to be delighted or pleased, exultation, to effervesce or inner exuberance. Isn't that a cool one? Like just be bubbling up on the inside. Maybe things are crazy on the outside, but on your inside, you're just kind of delighted with your life. And even if things are weird or scary, you just have this weird blessedness about you, this weird gladness about you. And it's because you have a wonderful God, and you know he takes care of you, and you know he'll always be there for you. And so the crazy stuff doesn't get to you. It's not just happiness, but a deep-seated joy emanating from where? From within, from your heart, because of what you believe and how you think. Sorry, I went to the wrong page. And now I'm very upset. Look at Philippians 4. I went to the wrong page, but I still had joy. And you know, it's that joy that even if things are crazy, you're just weirdly blessed. You know, you just have this bubbling up on the inside because you know God and you know he'll take care of you. You have the greatest God in the universe. You know he'll meet your needs. You're not afraid. In Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord. What? This is something that God says you should do. Rejoice in yourself always. No. Rejoice in the other believers always. No. Rejoice in, now this you can't do. Rejoice in your pets always. Because they'll never hurt you. Your dog understands you, right? Yeah, he thinks you're a piece of food is what happens. But what is it says, rejoice in who? Rejoice in the Lord. And that's something, even here, God is telling us to do. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. God is so great. We have such a wonderful God. And it even says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Rejoice in God. And that's something that you can do within your life, just no matter what's going on. You could be driving in your car swearing at people in New Jersey, but Atlanta really doesn't have much better traffic, I've noticed. And you can be speaking in tongues, but you can also be what? Rejoicing. Not because the traffic is great, because you have a great God right there with you. And he's just going to take care of you, and he's going to watch over you. And you just have the most advantage in this life because you have this wonderful God who's in your life. Look at Psalm 5. The richest people on this earth are the ones who have a relationship with the one true God. It doesn't get any better in this life than having a relationship with the one true God. And you can have that. Many of you do have that. And that is just the best. Because God takes such good care of his people. And you know that. And so no matter what the situation is, it's just like, I'm just blessed. I'm just bubbling up on the inside. In Psalm 5, verse 11, it says, but let those that put their trust in thee, what? Rejoice. You trust God? You have confidence in God? Then rejoice. You already know he's going to take care of you. You put your confidence in God. You ask God to help you. You have confidence in God. You know he's going to take care of you, so what? Rejoice, rejoice. You know it's taken care of, like Lisi said. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever, what? Shout for joy. Why not shout for joy? You've got it. You've got God in your life, the greatest. Let them ever shout for joy, because what's it say? Thou what? God will defend you. Lisi read it. God will fight for you. So who cares if you get in a fight? You are going to get in a bunch of fights in your life, but who's on your side? Who will be there for you? So you rejoice. It says in Romans 5 that we brag when we get a lot of pressure because our God is so great. We shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be what? Do you love God? Then just have some joy. Don't let it get stolen from you. Rejoice that you have this wonderful God. And you love him. And you and him have a relationship. And he does take care of you. He does meet your needs. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask and think. He heals people constantly. And you know him. And you have him as your God. He's not a cheap, yucky God. He's the greatest. And he's the kindest to people. And he takes the best care of people. And even if you have a crazy day, you can rejoice because he's on your side. He's there for you. Psalm 89, or are things bigger to you than God? Like people or corporations or the stock market? Stock market bigger than God?
No.
Or movie stars? Psalm 89, is Brad Pitt bigger than God? And why are you so worried about him? Psalm 89, verse 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Can anything be compared to your God, who takes care of you personally and you can have a personal relationship with? For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared, and that's just awesome. You should have such awe and reverence and respect for God. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in what? Reverence of all them that are about him. We are to have great reverence and respect for God, great awe at what he can do, the wonderful things that he can do in our lives. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? How strong is God? Lisi covered that so well. God has done it all, and he's your personal God. And you can always rejoice in that. Who, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Who is more faithful than God? Who, you can always count on God, always. Don't mistake him for your experiences with people. Like Lizzie said, he's not a person. He's not a man. He's not a woman either, by the way. You didn't mention that, but he's not. He is faithful. He'll always be there for you. Thou rulest, verse 9, the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou, what? Could he calm the ocean? You know, it's nothing for him. And that's your God. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. It's his. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and everything that fills it, the fullness thereof, well, he made it all. He founded it all. What couldn't he do for you? How much resource does God have? And because of his great love for you, wouldn't he bring to bear for you? The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, and as for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon, those are mountains in the east and west, shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. He's so strong. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. And that's his abundant, faithful kindness when you see mercy and truth together like that. Now look at verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the what? The joyful sound of God working for them. Those people are blessed. God doing things, God moving, having God work in your life, having that relationship every day like Bob taught, having God show you how to find keys, show you how to be nice to the meanest person in your office. I already made a list. You know, I worked with Bob at that time, and he was never nice to me, so I don't... No, that's not true. That's not true. Poor Bob is translating this, so what's he going to say? See, now I know that if I'm mean to Bob, I figure this out, he's going to do cool things for me. And you know what? Do you agree with that? You're never going to get the benefit unless you apply it. And by the way, one other thing you might want to take from this weekend is try making that hot dog soup. Because I guarantee if you don't go home and try to make it this week, you might forget about it. But maybe if you do make the hot dog soup, it's going to be a part of your life for the rest of your life. Verse 15, nothing wrong with rejoicing, is there? And you know what? God tells you to, right? God tells you to move a mountain or something else, you'll do that. But what about when God tells you to rejoice? And you know, in Philippians where it says, mentions joy and rejoicing many times, it's written to leaders. It's addressed to leaders also, right? Don't let your joy get stolen from you. Don't let that joy get stolen from you. The thief cometh not for to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll steal that joy. You'll be a great believer. You'll be helping everybody. You'll be praying, running fellowships, you know, doing everything right. No joy, no rejoicing. Don't let it be stolen from you. God says to rejoice. Rejoice always. 15 again. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the what? Isn't that a picture? The light of his countenance. God just watching out for you. God's face towards you. That's how you walk through this life. In thy name, verse 16, they shall what? Rejoice all the day. You know, you have a wonderful God. And you know that God. And God does wonderful things for his people. He does unbelievable things for his people, and he will do them for you. And that should be bigger than what a person might have done to you or, you know, what happens with the economy. God is so much bigger than all that and so much concerned about you that you can just have this weird joy about you, you know, this rejoicing, this inner bubbling effervescence, because you know how wonderful your God is. In Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of what? And that means he cares when you're having a hard time. That's the God you have. He cares. And he wants to do something about it. He's full of compassion and gracious. That means he'll do things for you for free. He likes to do favors for you. And he's generous. He likes to do things for people. He has lots of resource, and he likes to spread it around. And gracious. And look at this. He is what? Long-suffering. He is so patient. He always forgives you. He is very, very patient with you. Long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And like I said, when you see those two together, it's talking about the faithful kindness of God. He is just full of kindness, and he is always, always kind. And so when you think about God, you can just rejoice. And if you're a person who's into God, did you know that's what this weekend was about? Did somebody lie to you? If you're a person who's into God, you do think about God, right? And so you rejoice. You rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again, I say rejoice. Psalm 33. Verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. He's looking at everybody. And you can read the rest. I'm going to just skip to 18. But he's looking at everybody. And then it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them. The ones who catch his eye, the eye of the Lord is upon them that what? Fear him. Have respect for him. Know how awesome he is. Expect great things from him. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. And mercy, once again, is his kindness. And hope is they expect to see his kindness. And no matter what kind of a day you have, you can always expect God to be kind, right? I have had situations like we had a friend who just turned their back on us just out of the blue. You ever have that happen to you? Just like we still don't know why they decided to hate us or whatever, especially me. Why would anyone hate me? And I realized that it happened a couple of years ago. I'm still sad about it, you know? Matter of fact, I might cry right now. And yet, why am I letting that rob my joy? Did God turn his back on me? Did God reject me? Did God get all mad at me and decide he didn't want to hang out with me anymore? So what am I looking at? Once I realized that it was just stealing my joy away, I decided to think more about God and how wonderful he was than the person who turned their back, right? And it's not a nice situation, but I'm not going to let it steal my joy from me. I also happen to know that we'll see them again at the gathering, right? And they're going to say, you were right, and I'm a dick. No, they're not going to say that. But I'll watch God wipe away their tears, you know? You know, we have people that have fallen asleep. Some of you have fallen asleep right now. But I'm talking about death. You have friends who died. How can you be blessed about that? Your God is so kind, he's going to what? You're going to see him again. You're going to see them again. You will see them at the gathering. And that can give you great joy and rejoicing, can't it? Psalm 52. So you get the idea, don't you? So you can rejoice. Do you agree? That's all I wanted. Psalm 52, verse, you see the little writing below Psalm 52? You should read that record. To the chief musician, Mishkil, a psalm of David, when Doeg, the Edomite, came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. What's the center reference on that? A sharp person can yell it out right away. Where could they go to read that record? Just as I thought. Okay, I think it's in Samuel. Yeah, 1 Samuel 22. And David lied to a priest, and because he lied to a priest, this guy came and killed the family of the priest. So David made a huge mistake, and it caused the death of all these people. And the guy who caused the death of all these people was just really, really evil. Can you imagine? Have you ever had anybody be really evil to you? Or maybe you've made a big mistake. You made a big mistake and it caused, you know, people to be hurt and everything like that. Well, you know, David was so cool. If you go through Psalms and look for these little, like the little writings under some of the Psalms, he would write Psalms about some of the things that happened in his life. It's a cool thing to look at. And after he heard that this guy had killed all these people because of him, because of his lie, he wrote a psalm. Isn't that cool? And who inspired them to write the psalm? Who gave it to him? Right. And look at what he says. Can you imagine hearing some horrible news and you were maybe the cause of it? Look what he says. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? He's thinking about this horrible guy, what he did. But then what does he say in the same verse right afterwards? Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth what? Yes, people do terrible things. You do terrible things. But the goodness of God endureth continually. God is always good. God is always kind. And you can always rejoice. And you read through the record, and he's mad. He's mad. But look at verse 8. I'm just trying to save you guys time because I know you want to be in bed by 11. It says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. God, I'm just like the most blessed person. It's a beautiful picture. Like, I'm just like the most well taken care of olive tree in God's house. Even though I made a huge mistake, even though people are evil and evil things happen, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the what? Mercy of God, what? Forever and ever. This is like living in Wonderland. Nehemiah 8. What's 45 minutes plus 9:20? All right, 10:05. We're in trouble. Nehemiah 8. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. So something you can do is what? Rejoice. Just rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Why not? That's carrying out God's word. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. It says, then he said to them, this is a good diet. There's a lot of diets in the Bible, you know. And look at this one. Then he said to them, go your way. What's this diet? Eating fat. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. That sounds good. That's the sweet and fat diet. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for look, the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Strength here, a place or means of safety. Do you know that joy makes you strong? Rejoicing makes you strong because no matter what happens, you're above it. The adversary can't crash down your mind and heart with bad events or weird things. You just are still going to rejoice in the Lord. It means a place or means of safety or protection. It's a refuge. Rejoicing, having great joy, is like a refuge from the craziness of this world. And you're not being pushed up and, you know, going up and down like the waves of the sea with everything that happens. You're just so blessed with God. Your eye is single on God. It's not on the material things. And it gives you great strength. It's a refuge. It's a stronghold. It makes you secure. It protects you. So I hope you agree that we should rejoice in the Lord. And then back in 1 Thessalonians 5, so there's something God says to do. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, says, pray how? Pray without ceasing. And I think a lot of you guys know that God says this quite often, that we should pray a lot. Pray a lot. Do you agree? Well, if you agree, that's enough for me. But if you want to get the results in your life, what should you do? Pray a lot. Pray without ceasing is unceasingly, without intermission. Here's a good one. Throughout the day. Just pray throughout the day. And that's one thing that God tells people to do all over the place. Just pray all day. Talk to God about everything. Pray throughout the day. Philippians 4. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4. I wonder what verse I would be reading here. I think it's 12. I know how to be abased. No, that wouldn't be it. I think it might be what? 6. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But look at this next part. But in what? Everything. Everything is each and everything. Anything. All things. Everything. In everything, what? Pray. Just pray. Talk to God about everything. And this is something that he says to do. Pray always. Pray always. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And what happens? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You know, God's not worried. He's very peaceful. He's the God of peace. And you know why he is so peaceful? He has perfect knowledge of the future, including you, including your end. And he knows what's going to happen with you, and you do too. What's going to happen with you? You're going to be gathered together. He's going to wipe away your tears. You're going to see those people that you love. And so we have God's peace because we know him who knows the future perfectly. But in everything, in each and everything, pray. Psalm 105. So what was the first one? Just rejoice. Try that tonight. Oh, man, the coffee wasn't there. I'm still weirdly happy. You know, that you just enjoy and happiness, right? Joy comes to the inside. But it's like you're just so blessed. There's no coffee. I'm thirsty. I still am blessed, and I don't know why. Well, you have this wonderful, wonderful God. And you know, someone who rejoices, people do want to go to church with them, right? Don't let that get stolen away from you. And just pray, 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 pray. What did I say, Psalm 105? Psalm 105. Verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face forevermore. Seek the Lord and seek his strength, seek his face forevermore. This word seek means to tread a place. Like if someone kept a record of where you went in your house all the time, what would they see? Refrigerator? Like went to the bathroom once in a while, went in the living room once in a while, refrigerator. Refrigerator. Looked in the refrigerator, went outside, came back, looked in the refrigerator, went to the back, looked outside, went to the refrigerator. That's what it is. It's like to tread a place, to frequent a place, to wear a path to. And in your life, you know, the path that you should be wearing out is your path to God. That you're just always going to God. You're always going to your refrigerator in real life, right? No. But you're just, with everything, you're just always going to God. You've worn out a path. You know, there's a figure between you and God. It's like if someone were to see your life, they would see that you're just always going to God, always with everything. You're always seeking God. You're frequently just going to God with everything. Just tread a path to God consistently. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek strength. Seek his face forevermore. Seek his face, you know. Look him in the face. Keep your eyes on him, not on all this other stuff. Don't let your joy get stolen. Psalm 27. Verse 13. I had fainted. That's like me. I fainted. No, it's like I would have fainted. Unless I had believed to see what? That's right. People can be bad. God ain't bad. God is always kind. What are you going to look at? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, right? Wait on the Lord. Wait means to trust. To trust. But it has this implication of firmness. And it says standing on the promises. Lisi taught, my God shall supply what? Stay firm on that. Don't get talked out of it. Your stand starts in your mind, in your heart. Just do not let anybody talk you out of it. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, God will meet my needs. No matter what time it is, no matter if you only have 3 seconds left, stay firm. When you ask God for something, when you ask him to help you, stay firm. It means to trust, implying firmness and constancy of mind. That's what it means to stand and not get knocked off of the promises of God, not get freaked out, not get scared, not get terrified. It says, wait on the Lord, and you be of good courage. And good courage is to bind fast, and that means hold on to yourself. Hold on to those brains. Don't go crazy. Don't get all scared. Don't get all worked up. Don't get all negative. Hold on to your mind. It means to bind fast, to be strong, to be firm, undaunted. And undaunted means not intimidated, not discouraged. Don't allow yourself to be intimidated. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged. You have courage and you hold on to your mind. You stand on what God's word says. You refuse to believe anything else than that you're going to have your needs met. You understand? Back in 1 Thessalonians 5, so rejoice evermore and pray, pray constantly. And then it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians, we're almost, no, never mind. We have another hour. Pray about it. You know what's really discouraging is when you're about to teach and people pray, Father, I thank you that I hope it's a good teaching tonight. And no, you know, but you still have the joy. No. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice what? Pray without ceasing. In birthday parties, give thanks. Is that what that says? When you give thanks. Who says this? Do you agree? That's enough for me. But what's it say? In everything, what? Give thanks. Be thankful. Be thankful. And that means you are grateful. You are grateful for things. Look at Colossians 3. How cool, right? This puts you so far above the world. I mean, you're just so far above it. Number one, God is so much bigger than anything, and he's your God. So you just rejoice in him. You know he'll take care of you. You know your end. You know the gathering's coming. And you're just always giving everything to him. You've worn a path to him, and you're just thankful for those things that you're grateful for things. In Colossians 3, verse 15, it says, and let, once again, whose peace? The peace of God rule in your hearts. God perfectly knows the future. And you know, he even has written it all down. No one's going to stop it from happening. That's what Lisi said too. He's so bold and confident. He's written down what's going to happen. And nobody's going to stop it from happening, including the gathering together for you. And by the way, that's where you put some of this heartbreak that happens. It's just a short time here, and then there's going to be what? The gathering. That's where you place it. It's a little bit of pain, but it's going to be replaced by just wonderful glory, right? But it says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, to which also you are called in bud buddy, to which also, and Bob says, he's just saying silly things, to which also you are called. Is that what he said? He's just saying foolish things. Okay. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye what?
Thankful.
Be thankful. And this thankful means mindful of favors. Anything good happen today?
Yeah.
I hear some people went to Chick-fil-A. That's something to be thankful for, right? I mean, you're in the world headquarters of Chick-fil-A? It's the greatest city in the world. Invented Chick-fil-A. Invented those donuts. What donuts, William? Krispy Kreme donuts. And you guys who are visiting, you got to go to the Krispy Kreme donut original store, right? Never mind. Anything you're thankful for? How about just our food? You know, how about you slept in a bed? How about you have a roof over your head? Be thankful. Don't be so negative. Be thankful. Don't let your joy get taken from you. Just pray all the time to God. Mindful of favors, grateful. Just grateful for things. Thankful. Philippians 3, 1, verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Be thankful for people. Be thankful for your wife. Be thankful for your husband. Be thankful for your kids. Be thankful for the other believers. Isn't it great? Be thankful for your friends. Be thankful for each other. There's so much to be thankful for. Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to yourselves, complaining, and wondering about this. No. How about this? You want to talk to yourself? What the heck is going on? No. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Look at this description of a believer. Singing and what? Making melody in your heart to who? Just, God is so great. Just full of joy. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks what? Always. For all things unto God and the Father. And I think Steve covered this in the name of what? You have the name of Jesus Christ, but being thankful. So be thankful and rejoice and pray all the time. Back to James 1. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, or you're just fooling yourselves. You're like children playing a game, not really getting the results that God has promised, not really living a more than abundant life, life in all of its categories. That comes from applying what the word says, from acting on what the word says. And that does help you to be more confident when you see God's word work time and time again. 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer only, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, he sees himself in a mirror. By the way, I think the mirror in my hotel room is a fat mirror, but that's another story. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and as soon as he leaves, straightway, what happens? You come to a weekend like this, you hear that God will work with you all day, you hear that God will show you things, you hear you can use the name of Jesus Christ and cast out spirits and heal people, you hear that you can count on God 100%, you agree with it, you don't apply any of it, by Wednesday you'll have forgotten who you are. By Wednesday you'll just think you're another dead person in the office. For he who beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh, don't you love this description of God's word? Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That's what God's word is. It's how to be free. And liberty is freedom to go where one will, to be set at liberty, to be saved from thraldom. You know what thraldom is? It's like to be a slave. Saved from thraldom. It's the state of being under control of another. When you apply God's word, you're not controlled by this world. You know, all this weird stuff happens. You hear about COVID. You hear about the stock market. You hear about, what do they call it when the money goes down? Inflation, recession, wow. And then monkeypox, wow. You're not a slave to that stuff. That doesn't affect you at all because you walk on God's word. You're not controlled by that. Your emotions aren't controlled by that. The adversary can't get you to bug out because of influencing you with strong emotion. You're just rejoicing evermore. You take everything to God, and you're thankful. You're thankful. And whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be, guess what? Blessed. Blessed in his deed. And that's how to be blessed in your life and how to live the more abundant life, how to have a great life in every category. God's word shows you how to walk and live a life that's more than abundant and not be controlled by this world, okay? So, Father, thank you so much for that. We have a chance to know you and we have a chance to know your word. And thank you that you are so faithful in that when we apply your word, when we believe your word, when we stand on your word, we see results. And thank you that we live above the world. And just thank you for your great grace on our lives and your great love on our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.